Today's scripture is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting fountains of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, have you ever done anything super religious but known that deep down in your heart it wasn't in it? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe come to church sometimes and you show up, you sing all the hymns, you know all the words to the creed, you say the right words, you stand when you're supposed to, sit when you're supposed to, you do all of that, but somewhere between Sunday morning and possibly around Monday afternoon, you realize that something doesn't match. Well, Micah was written in a moment just like that. The people, they were very religious, but their worship, it didn't line up with their daily living. And God says something shocking. Religion is not enough. It's not enough. It's not good enough. Well, Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah during a very volatile time in Israel's history. So the nation was divided. Assyria was on the rise. Collapse was coming. It was going to happen. And both of those kingdoms of Israel and Judah had broken their covenant with God. So the book, this book of Micah, is a lovely book. It's a very poetic book. It really is poetry, biblical poetry at some of its best. And it moves in cycles. There are these three different cycles that are happening here of judgment and hope. And Micah pleads a case three times for those things. And then right in the middle of the book of Micah, we find what I would call a Jesus passage, referring to the coming, the future coming of a messianic king who would put right everything that was wrong. So it moves in these cycles, and God is confronting his people, not because he hates them or despises them, but because he loves them. He's trying to draw them back. And so Micah 6, by the time we get there, we have this last of the three cycles that are happening. In Micah 6, it opens like a courtroom, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know, arise. Picture everybody arising for the judge to come in. And, you know, you can see that there are people assembled. And then there's a witness called. And Micah says, the Lord has a lawsuit against his people. And Israel is put on the stand. And what's the evidence against Israel? It's presented. Micah points out a lot of different things in chapter 6 and 7. He says they operate with rigged scales. You know, the borrowing and trading of currency and grain and all of that, the scales that weigh those things out are rigged. There's economic injustice being done. The rich are getting richer off of the backs of the poor. There's exploitation happening. The religious people are corrupt. This is the evidence that's presented. Micah 6 is what we might think of as a spiritual audit. When the IRS audits you, it's not because they're curious about you. It's because something doesn't line up. It doesn't add up. And so God lays out the books. The numbers don't add up. God is calling the people to honesty and confession. How do we practice that in our lives? You know, you can pray about it. You can pray about your sin. You can get honest with God in prayer, just between you and God. And certainly, the Lord hears those prayers. He hears the prayers of the repentant sinner, the Bible says. And we know that when we ask for God's forgiveness, He does extend it to us. And He will remove His punishment from us and remove from us the guilt of our sin and cleanse our hearts. And here's the truth. Repentance, it can't happen until what is done in the darkness is brought into the light. It has to be exposed. You see, sin, it survives in secrecy. But you know what? It weakens with your confession. It weakens. This is why we need more than just our silent prayers. We need trusted relationships with people where we can be vulnerable, where we can expose our sin, talk to someone about it, reveal it. And when a trusted friend knows what my struggles are, it holds me accountable. You see, that's what sin needs, is restraint. We need accountability and doing the right thing. And that's what Micah is drawing out of the people. He's exposing, bringing it into the light, the things that are being done that are injustices, that are sins, that are violation of God's law, His moral law. He's holding them accountable. You see, something wasn't lining up between their worship and their daily life. Those things were not congruent with each other. And y'all, that can still be the issue today. We wonder, what does God require of me? The people respond, with what shall I come before the Lord? That's what they ask. Should we bring better sacrifices, more offerings, thousands of rams, rivers of oil, maybe even our firstborn children? And Micah exposes the absurdity of that. He says you can't buy God off with religious performance. And then comes one of the most famous verses in Scripture, right? Verse 8, Micah 6, 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Y'all, this is what real faith looks like. This is it, right here. It's not about loud religion, showy things, but it's about deeper love that shows up in everyday living. He says, do justice. Don't look away when something isn't right, but step towards what is broken instead of away from it. Do justice. Do the right thing for the right reason. And so we're called to ask ourselves, you know, who's being overlooked around me? How can I act justly? Who are those that are left out and forgotten that people aren't noticing? Who are being mistreated? What am I being called to do about it? And he says, love mercy. You know, to me that says, show compassion over judgment. You know, it's easy to judge people, to pass judgment on them, rather than to show them compassion and empathy. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, who am I tempted to judge that God is calling me to love? Love mercy. And then Micah says, walk humbly with your God. Stay close. Remember that you need grace too. Humility. If it were not for the grace of God, where would we be? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, who can I show grace to? Who is someone that needs me to give grace? And what we see happening in Israel was they were singing on Sunday, but they were cheating on Monday. And God says, that disconnect matters. Religion alone isn't enough. But you see, true repentance bears fruit in how we live between Sundays. Justice, mercy, humility. And so Micah, it calls us out. Calls us out. But you know, the book doesn't end in judgment. We didn't have time to read chapter 7, but I want to offer it to you. It's a beautiful passage. In chapter 7, the courtroom has now become quiet. And there's just one voice speaking. The voice says, I have sinned. I will wait for the Lord. Y'all, that's exile language. And that's exactly where Israel finds themselves. Exiled. Waiting. It's darkness language. It's the language that says, I've hit rock bottom. What shall I do? Where shall I go? You know, maybe that's some of you, maybe that's all of us. You know, we're not geographically exiles, but rather we're spiritually distant. We carry regret for the things that we have done and not done. We carry that, like one of these rocks up here. Our relationships, they can feel strained and fractured Some of you feel that. Things aren't right. We can be left wondering, is God silent? I have sinned. God, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. And then the voice says this, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light for me. Y'all, that's the turning point. That's where a shift happens. You see, the same God who judges sin, he doesn't stay angry forever. Who is a God like you, Micah says, pardoning iniquity? You cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, Micah saw this only in part. But we see it clearly in Christ, don't we? Your sins I will remove, will cast them as far as the east is from the west into the sea of God's forgetfulness. You see, Jesus became the exiled one for us. He was led outside of a city. He was sitting in darkness, bearing indignation. It wasn't his sin, but it was our sin. Jesus enters into our exile so that we can come home. And y'all, that brings us to communion. Communion is not a reward for religious performance. It's not a table for people who have it all put together in their lives. It's a table for people who know what it means to sit in the darkness and to wait for God's mercy. It's at the table where exile gets reversed, where our shame gets covered over with grace. It's a place where sin is not excused. It's confessed. It's forgiven. The table is a place where distance between us and God can become nearness, can be brought together. So if you're here today and you feel aware of your sin, if you feel like something isn't lining up, you know, I come to church, I do the churchy things, I'm going through the motions, but when I leave, there's things in my Mondays through Saturdays that don't line up. If you've been sitting in the dust, don't keep running from God. But wait for the Lord. Seek Him. Return to Him. Come to His table. Because in Jesus, the God who judges us is also the God who pardons us. And the darkness or the light of hope shines even in the darkness of our desperation. That's where we are today. So come to the table. Come to the Lord. I'm always struck every week how we send the cross out first, right? It goes out ahead of us. And we're called to follow in the way of Christ. And as we do, we know that flame, His Spirit, goes with us. And it empowers us so that we can do what Micah says. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Go in His peace.